The mark, he said, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. And he said, I've come to call the sinners, not the righteous. And I really like that. So I decided to step out tonight and talk about something that I've struggled with for a long time, which is depression. Because it's probably been through my struggle with that over the years that I've learned the most about. Not just myself, but, you know, about other people and about life and about God. I've learned about God's love and his character and his grace through that. So I'll go back to when I was about 18. I've never really been the life of the party, like super outgoing, loud kind of person. I've always been quite reserved and quite quiet. And that's cool. I was quite happy with that. But something happened when I was 18 that actually, it triggered a real change in me. You know, I wasn't the crazy outgoing person, but I was a pretty happy person, you know, through my teens. But towards the end of my last year at high school, I ended up having a relationship that really messed me up. It was with somebody in a position of authority in my life. It wasn't a church or youth group leader or anything like that because I wasn't a Christian at the time. It really messed me. It was sort of only really once I was older as an adult and I was able to look back on it that I saw it for what it was, that it was actually kind of a situation of abuse of authority. You know, but at that age, I'd only just turned 18. At that age, I didn't see that. I kind of thought I was making a willing, you know, I was fully in control of my decisions, but I was just a kid, really. I've been brought up in a Christian family, with pretty strong morals. So I had a pretty good sense of right and wrong. And so I think I came out of that carrying a lot of, well, I know I did. I came out of that carrying a lot of shame and a real fear that my family and people would find out what had happened. Yeah, that was the real thing for me. It was shame and fear. Pretty soon after that, actually within weeks, I went back to the family farm up here in Te Ako. Mum and Dad had a sheep and beef farm, and I went back, and it was probably about the worst thing that could happen to me because I had about 2 months of just walking the hills, spraying thistles and shifting stock and thinking. Lots and lots of time thinking. Often I'd be out there for sort of 4 or 5 hours at a time. Just me, some cattle, a knapsack on my back. And my thoughts really spiraled downwards. I had this horrible secret that I was carrying. I'd find myself going over these really negative thoughts in my head, you know, you're a failure, you're dirty, you've stuffed up. It might sound pretty rational. I just really felt like my life was over, you know. It's amazing how you can lose perspective, actually, when things are going bad. And the sense of like a fog, a kind of greyness, you know, Winston Churchill famously called it the black dog, that became my new normal. And over that summer, I just became really withdrawn. I shut down around my parents. I just remember kind of losing my appetite. I just wanted to sleep a lot. It was really weird. I just changed. I didn't really understand what was happening. And of course, the whole time I was trying to pretend I was fine. You know, I had a good group of mates up the coast there. But you know, I could never talk about how I was actually feeling inside. So, you know, just put on a happy face. At the end of those holidays, I went to study journalism at AUT in Auckland, and I just threw myself into it, you know, meeting new people and it was a good distraction, and I started partying, and I think I had a cask wine on my shelf pretty much the whole year. And I sort of turned to that as a way of escaping what was going on. It's pretty normal at that age. It kind of worked and it helped numb. You know, I could sort of run away from this feeling that I had, but I'd find that as soon as I was on my own again, it was right there, this hopelessness and this, you know, just this horrible feeling in my stomach. And what you've got to understand is at the time, I didn't even think the word depression was in my vocab, you know. I didn't even know that was a thing. I I didn't really have any understanding of what that was. All I knew was that I'd made this mistake. I'd had this relationship that I was really ashamed of, and I couldn't undo it. And I was hiding it, and I felt like I was living a double life where I had all these good friends and I had my family and everything, but no one actually really knew what was going on inside of me. And I, for the next decade, really, from about 18 to 30, I lived my life just under a cloud, and I approached everything through this lens of, you know, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve anything good that comes my way, and no one really knows who I am. And that's how I approached my life, and it affected all my decisions. Fortunately, I found God in my last year of university, which is kind of a whole other story. It's sort of another testimony, I suppose. But that was amazing. I had a genuine conversion where it was sort of the best decision I ever made in my life. Was giving my life to the Lord. And I had this amazing experience of peace and joy and freedom that came into my life from that, and it was real and it was tangible and it was amazing. But then after about 2 months, to my dismay, I started going back down again. I was like, oh no, what's happening? This is not the script. Everything's supposed to be awesome when you become a Christian. I couldn't believe it, you know. I was like, oh, I found God. I know he's real, and here I am feeling hopeless again. I knew all the scriptures about forgiveness and eternal life and grace and all of this, and yet I couldn't seem to get it into my heart, you know. What happened basically is I just slipped back into that pattern of thinking, and the truth is my depression actually got worse after I became a Christian. And I just want to be real about that, because people often, I think there's a tendency sometimes in Christian testimonies where we say, you know, I met God and it all became better. And that's awesome if that's the case, but for me, it just wasn't. And I actually went through a long journey where I had to actually, you know, really walk through some stuff. And I feel like the Lord allowed me to go through that so I could become like who I am now. I don't feel like God ever failed me or abandoned me. I just think sometimes, you know, you've got to go through some stuff in life. I think the biggest problem for me is I just wanted it to be my whole walk, everything. I wanted it to be between me and God, and I kept everybody else at arm's length, you know. So I became a full-on Christian, you know. I was hardcore. Like, I prayed and I fasted and I'd go on retreats and I studied my Bible, and I was about as devoted as you could get. My mates used to call me modern day monk, because I was pretty monkish. I was pretty hardcore, I just didn't allow any rubbish into my life. And I thought, if I can do this, if I can be really rigid and structured, then I'll get better. And pretty much my strategy for overcoming this thing, which I didn't know was depression, my strategies were just pray lots, fast a lot, go on retreats, and positive affirmations. I thought, well, if I can think good thoughts and if I can pull myself up and change my attitude, things will get better. And that's the pattern I followed through my 20s. And I had periods where things were a bit more bearable than others, you know, where I felt okay. But they were followed by these terrible episodes where I was just so full of anxiety and fear that I'd take days off work, stay in bed. I was like your classic depressed person, curtains shut, probably needed to get up and eat some food and have a wash. There were some pretty low periods, and I felt like I had no control over it. That was the worst thing. I was like, what's wrong with my mind? Something's broken. I can't seem to just have any stability. So I'd trained as a journalist, but I never went into that. I came out of uni and right through my 20s, I just took jobs that were kind of easy and low pressure. And I think I just inherently knew that if I took anything that had any kind of pressure involved that I could fail in, that would just tip me over the edge. You know, I just thought, I can't handle any extra pressure. I'm already so fragile mentally. So while my mates were off, you know, pursuing these successful careers, I was Yeah, no, I couldn't do that. I didn't have that kind of capacity. Then, unfortunately, things kind of got worse because I met this girl from England, and I ended up moving over there really quickly, over to London, and then even more quickly, I got married. And I know a lot of people don't know this about me, but it was a nightmare, really, because I think we were actually both kind of depressed. I think we both sought each other out as a way of, you know, finding some happiness in our lives. And it was just a bad situation. And I was just low all the time. I wasn't happy. My ex-wife ended up having a relationship with someone at work, which was awesome. That, you know, nearly destroyed me going through that. We tried really hard to, you know, to get things back on track. Went to counselling and all that stuff, but yeah, it just wasn't, there was no momentum. And I was actually, I don't want to use the word lightly, but I was pretty suicidal by that stage. And so we split up, and that just brought more shame, you know, because, you know, Christian, divorce. It's not a badge you wear, you know, like proudly. You know, for me back then, I thought that was the pits, you know. All I'd ever wanted to do was be a good person and be this real shining example of a good Christian. And here I was, you know, failed marriage, starting to drink quite a lot to dull the pain. And I just kind of thought, man, I must be defective. There must be something wrong with me. I can't get it right. But then it came a real turning point for me in June 2009. I was sitting on a park bench in West London, and in this place called Hanworth Park that I used to go to quite a bit, and I was just ready to give up. I was like, I'd been working with homeless people in London for about 3 or 4 years, and I'd sort of been watching how these guys lived their lives and how they ended up homeless. And I was like, man, I get it, eh? I get it. It's like not that difficult a step. If everything's gone, man, it's like, I thought, and I started thinking, I was sitting there and I thought there was an off license over the road, and I thought, oh, I could go get a bottle of vodka, fall asleep on this park bench, and that'll be the start of it. And I thought, it'll be my glorious descent into homelessness. I just thought, but I had this amazing sense of relief, like peace with it. I thought, yeah, I'll just give up. Just grow a real long beard. Stop washing. No one will know who I am. I'll just break contact with my family, become anonymous. And that's what these guys did, man. These guys I worked with, that was the real sad state of how they got to where they were. But as I sat there pondering this and thinking, I was honestly like, okay, I think this is what I'm going to do. I just felt this loud voice in my head say, you need to ask for help. It's funny, yeah, because it's like you sort of wonder why it took me so long to realize that, you know, I was 30 by that stage and I'd, you know, be living in this pain for such a long time, but I'd never thought to ask for help. I just have a drink. So yeah, my logic was, you know, well, God's really powerful and he can heal me. So I don't need anyone else, you know. I thought, well, I can just nut it out with me and God. He'll fix me up. I just need to try a bit harder, keep trying harder. But, you know, I'd been doing that for about a decade by then, and it just hadn't worked. So I thought, oh, something's got to change here. So as I sat there on that bench, I thought, I'm going to do the one thing I've always resisted. I'm going to go see a doctor. I thought, well, doctors, you know, they're like, that's the opposite of God, you know. You know, that's what I'd always thought. What can they offer me? I picked up my phone and I made an emergency appointment with the GP. And yeah, it was, yeah, that was when things changed, because I walked in there and the doctor, she was like, so why are you here today? And I thought, well, man, I can't talk about like a, I don't need stitches and I haven't got a cold or anything like that. You know, I'd never been to the doctor for anything other than a physical ailment. And it was sort of a pause. And then I just said, I don't know. This is a bit weird. I don't know if you can help me for this, but I just feel so bad. So I felt bad for so long, eh? Like I just said, I just feel so unhappy and I don't know how to change it. I'm a Christian and, you know, and I just kind of started talking to her and I don't know how, but she cleared her schedule for the next hour and just asked a lot of questions about, you know, and listened. And as I was talking to her, I could tell, I was sort of hearing myself speak and I was thinking, man, you're really not that well, eh? And then I at some point I said to her, do you think I've got depression? And she was like, yes. She said, yes, I think you have very severe depression and you've had it for a long time. And that was really the start of something for me, because I remember walking out of there and just really feeling like I'd made the right call, like I'd humbled myself, and I wished I'd done that a decade ago. you know, we over the coming weeks, you know, with the doctor, we formed a bit of a plan for how I was going to get better. You know, that took a long time. But, you know, that was really the start of a long, slow process of healing for me. And I started talking to some of my really close friends, which was so hard. I was like, man, what are these, my mates, what are the boys going to think of me? And I started talking to my family and even my pastor at the time and these people, and I was so scared of what they were going to think of me. But it was just completely the opposite to what I expected, because when I opened up and started telling people about, hey, I don't know what you think of me, but I actually just feel really down a lot of the time. People were just like, just so supportive. And my mates, just all, everyone sort of just moved towards me, actually, just so much care and concern, and I realized people just wanted to help me. It wasn't what I'd thought for so many years, you know. And the cool thing is I found that so many of these thoughts I'd had, these fears and worries and shame and things like that, as I started sharing that with people, they'd be like, yeah, bro, I made mistakes in my life too, and yeah, I get really worried as well about things, and I have days where I feel really low. And I was like, well, really? Because you seem like you're really strong and stuff. And my pastor at the time, who was a guy called Rick Williams, who, you know, I really, really look up to Rick. And I remember talking to him, and he was like, yeah, Ben, I went through a long period of depression. And I was like, what? Seriously? You know, when I started learning this, that other people, you know, go through this sort of stuff, it was so healing for me. I realized, oh, I'm not a freak. I'm just kind of normal. I think the problem was I'd kept everything hidden, and in my head it had just become so magnified over the years. I started seeing a counselor. I saw a counselor for about 3 years. It's funny, eh? Because I was always like, ah, counselors are for sissies. Don't need a counselor. You know, that's kind of what I grew up in, you know, that kind of attitude, you know. And I was just so anti it. I never thought there'd be any good come from seeing a counselor. It was just so the opposite. Now I'm like the biggest advocate for it, eh? If you're going through stuff, you know, and I've had some awesome sessions with Marie as well. And I'd really recommend Marie, our counselor here in the church, you know, if anyone ever needs to talk to someone, she's wicked. But seeing this counselor over in England, as I started to trust this guy more and more, I learned how to really open up and share some of the deepest, darkest stuff in my life. And there was no judgment, nothing like that. He just showed me just such a loving kind of father heart, you know, and explained that what I was going through was actually quite common. Mm. I also did something else which I resisted for a long time, which was I took medication. I just want to say that because I think that can be a part of the healing process for people that are depressed. I was just so low when I started going to that doctor that I just needed to establish some kind of a platform to stand on, and medication gave me that. I started off on a really high dosage of it, and it really helped me, and over the years I lowered it and was able to come off it. But I think the biggest step for me was the day I sat down with my parents, and the day I talked to them about that relationship, you know, that I'd had back when I was 18. That was it was really, really healing for me because, yeah, again, like this thing I'd been afraid of for so long where I thought they'd be ashamed of me, there's nothing like that, eh? They were just really, just so supportive and loving and just actually just really concerned and gutted that I'd kept it to myself for so long. And I think it was healing for them too because they'd seen this change in me when I was 18, eh? They'd seen like I just became this such an unhappy person and they'd never known why, you know, and I'd never been able to tell them. So I think that was really healing for them too. So I'm really happy to say that now I have a lot more, a lot of joy in my life. I'm definitely, you know, I'll always probably be someone that has a tendency towards perfectionism. I like things to be just right, and I'm pretty anal like that. But, you know, I've kind of learnt that about myself, which has been really liberating in itself. And the key thing is I think I've kind of gained the skills for dealing with those hard times when they come. You know, I do sometimes I'll have low periods or where I feel anxious, but I've realized now I don't have to freak out about that. You know, those days come and go. Sometimes you just need more sleep. or you just need, you know, just have a catch up with your mates or whatever. And I'm really fortunate that I've got an amazing wife in Briar. You know, that was a huge part of the healing for me. Meeting her and, you know, she knows all this stuff about me and she's just always been so supportive and she gets it, you know. She, when I can talk to her about depression and stuff like that and it's all good, you know, and that's a real blessing for me in my life. So I just want to finish by just sharing some key things that I've learned and I just really hope, I guess my hope is that for anybody that is going through a tough time or does in future that you can just hold, you know, just remember some of these things because I think they're really key. The first one is that I just, you know, I feel like we're not made to do life alone. We have to be able to share our struggles with people that we trust. I spent a long time trying to do it on my own and it really doesn't work. I believe that God really wants to show his love to each and every one of us, but I've found that he often brings his healing through our relationships with other people. It's often how he demonstrates his care and, you know, his love for us is through others, which is no great mystery really when you think about it. You know, we're created for community, eh? I was reading something today in Galatians, in the book of Galatians, where Paul urged them to carry each other's burdens. And I was thinking, how are we supposed to do that if we never share our burdens with each other? You know? Another thing I want to share is that, you know, when we're open and humble, when we humble ourselves before others, it actually tells them that they're worth something. You know, when we share our struggles with people, we're actually telling them that we trust them enough to do that, and that actually really makes them feel awesome. My mates were gutted that it took me so long to tell them what I'd been going through, and I could see they were actually really hurt about it when I told them. And then on the other side, they were also really pleased that I'd finally been able to do that. And it helped my friendships with those guys, you know, over in England, you know, when I went through that. My friendships with those guys are just amazing now, because I suppose once you share that kind of stuff with each other, yeah, you've got a pretty solid relationship. The third thing is I just think we have to get our junk, you know, our stuff out into the light. When we keep our shame hidden and it festers, it just gets worse, eh? Stuff we've done wrong in our lives, stuff we're ashamed of, you have to get that out, eh? You've got to bring that into the light. And confessing things to each other really breaks that power. And the last point, which is probably pretty obvious now, but I just don't think Christianity is like this ticket to happiness. Sometimes maybe it's marketed like that. I think it's, you know, like, I think when we, as Christians, you know, we live with suffering just like everyone else in the world. You know, in the book of Corinthians, I really love this because it's given me a lot of hope over the years. But Paul wrote that he talked about a father of compassion and a father of comfort how he comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You know, so it's about the fact that we've gone through hard times, that gives us the ability to help other people. And if we as Christians never went through tough times, like what help would we be? You know what I mean? And I just really feel like, you know, God uses the difficult times in our lives like a refining fire. You know, it just refines us and makes us more capable of loving others and having empathy and compassion. And yeah, so you know, that's the journey I've been on. It's been kind of one of deep humbling. You know, I thought that becoming a Christian and making no mistakes and living a perfect life, that was what it was all about. But you know, I made some major stuff ups along the way, and I realized that I'm just like everyone else on the planet. But through that, you know, I've just realized that God loves it when we bring our brokenness to Him, you know. And through the experience I've been through with depression, I've just found how like fierce and passionate God's love is. You know, how He just he doesn't leave us. You know, He just does not leave our side, and He'll do everything that's necessary to bring that healing to us. Yeah.